Can you imagine how special it would be to see Jesus pray? Can you picture that just for a moment? Like, what would it look like to watch Jesus in prayer? Very conveniently, you guys have left this very front pew open. So imagine Jesus there praying, the things that he carries in his heart, the people that he cares about, the burdens of those he cares about, his friends. Jesus, the night of the Last Supper, he says, I no longer call you servants, I have called you friends. So Jesus brings all of himself, including his friends, with him in prayer. Now, there's such a beauty in that mystery of watching Jesus pray, which is where our gospel begins. Jesus was praying in a certain place, the St. Thomas More Newman Center Parish. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. That watching Jesus pray, watching this man, they know is close to God. Maybe you've watched holy people pray and you think to yourself, I want to know what they're saying. Like, I want that relationship that they have. That as they watch Jesus pray, they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to speak to your Father and our Father like you do. Teach us. And so in today's gospel, we have three movements. First, he's going to give them the perfect prayer, the Our Father. He's going to insist to them about persistence in prayer. And then finally, he's going to tell them, this is what you'll receive when you persist in prayer. He gives them the Our Father. So many of the saints have said, the summary of all prayers is the Our Father. There's no petition that goes unanswered. There's nothing we could ask of God outside of the Our Father. And of course, when we're here at Mass, we say the Our Father that Matthew gives us, which is a little bit longer. Luke kind of gives us the shorthand. And he says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. That as we begin here, we establish a relationship already, that we're connected to him. Not like God Almighty, but there's a fatherly, childly relationship here. That I'm calling upon him as Dad, Abba, as Jesus cries out from the cross, Father, your name be made holy. Not just in the society around us, but in me. That your name would be a sanctuary, a refuge for me. That I would call upon your name. I'd be able to say the name of Jesus with reverence, and it would be a source of strength for me. Father, hallowed be your name. And then we make this next petition, your kingdom come. And I'm not sure if we mean that all of the time. Your kingdom, not my kingdom. We build our own little kingdoms, our own little fiefdoms, or I have everything organized just as I want. And I like when the Lord intervenes when it's convenient to me. But do we really mean your kingdom come, that your will would be done, not my will, but your will? That you take the first step, Lord, and all I do is follow wherever it is that you're leading. Your kingdom come. And we beg, give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. We can't do this life on our own, Lord. We need you to provide for us. Give us bread daily. Give us friendship daily. Give us beauty daily. Give us goodness and truth daily. We beg you for it. And we're blessed sinners. We need you to forgive us. So Jesus hands them the Our Father, but then he's going to insist to them that you need to persevere in prayer. You need to persist in prayer. It can't just be these one-offs here and there. The hardest thing in life, I'm convinced, the hardest thing in life is relationships. And one of the difficulties of relationships is just staying consistent with the other person. So Jesus is going to insist to us that we be persistent in our relationship with God, that we come back to him again and again and again. And our hearts get wearied by the world. We get tired and bogged down. But we can't get weary in prayer. Prayer is our relationship with God. This is how we engage with him. And what he tells us, he gives us this example. You're going to go to a friend, and you're in need of three loaves of bread because you have visitors at your house. And he goes to this friend's house, he knocks on the door, and the friend answers, and he says, I can't get you anything. My wife and my kids are asleep. You're going to wake the whole house. This is greatly inconveniencing me. And he says, if he doesn't give you bread because of the friendship, he will get up to give you bread because of your persistence. That you keep going back, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep searching, knocking at this friend's door. And because of your persistence, he desires to heed your intentions, your desires of your heart, that we would be persistent with the Lord in prayer. And then finally, he tells us what we're going to receive in prayer. And I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot in terms of my relationship with God. But oftentimes what I'm praying for is basically for the Lord to fix all of my problems. Do you guys do that? Okay. Family. I just want God to take all the bad things away. I want God to create resolutions. I want God to fix things just to make my life easier, honestly. And what I really mean behind all of that so often is, Lord, make all the hard things go away so I no longer have to rely on you. And we don't say it that way, but we just want it to be easier. But to be totally honest, it's oftentimes not a prayer that the Lord wants to grant, because it's in the places that we struggle, it's in the places that we feel weak, it's in the places that we are sort of out of control, that it's easiest and best for us to come close to him. We're not God. He is. He can do what he wants, but he desires that we would draw near to him time and time again. So just to say, I want to do this life on my own, the Lord won't answer that prayer. Jesus will never give us something so that we no longer have to rely on him. He'll never give us something so that we no longer have to rely on him. So that we need a real reliance on God, not just a reliance on ourselves. That's why we beg, give me bread daily. Not to build up a storehouse of bread so that I can grab it and go whenever I want, but that today, Lord, you would provide for me. And then Jesus tells us something interesting within that context. He says, what father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Like, what father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? It's like, the Lord is never going to give us anything dangerous. He wants to protect us. He wants to keep us close to him. So when we ask for something, he's not going to allow us to put ourselves in danger. I could ask the Lord for $1 million. It would not be good for my soul. That's why God doesn't give me $1 million. I deserve it as far as I'm concerned. But God's not going to give it to me because it's not going to be good for my soul. And that's okay. But it's in the asking, it's in the persisting that our hearts are stretched and stretched and stretched. So I say, okay, Lord, I want to trust in you. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to believe in you. And then finally, he says, if then you who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? At the end of the day, what God wants to give us in prayer is himself. We worry too much about the gifts of God, and we don't worry enough about the God who gives gifts. God desires to give himself entirely to us if we have hearts open to receive him. That when we ask for more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit, more of God the Father, his love, his compassion, his mercy, his kindness, his patience, it's a prayer that Jesus always desires to answer. And so as we come forward, especially today, having the privilege of saying the Our Father, let's mean it. Hallowed be your name. Lord, your kingdom come.